Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Welcome back in. We're looking at some highlights on the TV this morning from the big Blues win last night. And Carl Middleman's giving us play-by-play. Hey, I blew the horn right there. That's when they lifted their sticks in the air.
Normally I blow it twice, but last night we blew it three times because Robert Bortuzzo, who played 10 years with the Blues, was on Utah and he announced his retirement. So he came out after we beat his team and shook hands with everybody on the team.
Oh, that's nice.
While they're all in the circle ready to salute the fans. It was really nice. And we saluted him during the game, too.
Oh, very, very well done. For those of you who don't know about Carl's other job, over working for the Blues, they had a big win last night, get in the playoffs. That's exciting stuff. Glad to see it. Of course, because of all that attention, I think, on the Blues, this is what I'm going to credit it to. Uh-huh. There was a Blues game going on down the street. Attendance at the baseball game was sad last night.
Lacking.
We had a friend who was there who texted us a picture this morning from basically the bleacher seats in the outfield, and you can see how empty the stadium was 15 minutes after the first pitch.
There are a lot of people wearing red dressed as seats.
Was it the Blues game sold out?
Yeah.
Standing room only.
Oh, I'm sure.
Wow.
And
it was Carl's also last game of the season.
Yeah.
Right.
Carl was getting music requests and all kinds of stuff up
Smitty,
there, as always.
Okay, every time our friend Smitty comes to the game, he sends the weirdest stuff, he always gets on television.
How does that happen?
I don't know.
It's funny. Great guy, though. All right, coming up, we're going to get to the folks from the Federation for American Immigration Reform. This continued debate over the El Salvadorian dude is really getting ridiculous now. Now the grandstanding continues with a United States senator flying to El Salvador, even as we speak. There was video of him earlier going down the tarmac or to get on the plane, down the walkway to get on the plane. That's how far the media, they're probably all on the plane with him flying down there. Who knows if he's even going to get to see the president of El Salvador, let alone releases. It's a photo op, basically, to try to bring an El Salvadorian citizen who broke into our country illegally back to the United States so that he can be deported again.
And by the way, is that plane ticket being paid for with taxpayer dollars?
Good question.
Someone asked that on Facebook.
Well,
I thought it was a great question.
He's been a senator long enough. He's probably a multimillionaire, so I'm sure he could book his own airfare to El Salvador. But if it's an official trip, I'm sure it's probably on the taxpayer's dime. Anyway, we'll talk to Fair coming up in the next segment. And at the bottom of the hour, one of our favorite guests is back, and then he's Charles Payne. I watched him on the other night with Jesse Waters, and or was it Waters or Hannity? I'm trying to remember which one he was on the other night. Anyway, he just breaks this whole market thing down with such clarity. I love having Charles on here, and I love his laugh. So we're going to get him on here at the bottom of the hour. But first things first, let's get to a few of the top stories we've got for you this morning.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
But dignity. Simple dignity. Everyone deserves to be treated with dignity.
Yeah, he's back. That's old Sleepy Joe. They trotted him out at some event last night where he repeated the lie of the left that somehow Social Security is at risk under Donald Trump. You heard Congressman Bob Onder. You've heard White House spokespeople say, congressional spokespeople, they're not touching Social Security. So, again, Joe's wrong.
Best recruiting numbers since 2002. That's a long time ago. And under my administration, the Navy is on track to have the best recruiting year since the start of the war on terror.
Yeah, the president bragging about the fact that military recruitment hitting a long time high here. And why? Because people have a little bit of confidence once again in their commander in chief.
People who are cheering for it now because it's Donald Trump, well, what happens the next 4 years from now when a Democrat is in office? What happens when President Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez decides to use these same powers?
Yeah, just in case you're wondering, that guy is with the National Review. His name is Blahar. I've never heard of him before. But he seems to think that in 2028, AOC might be president. And what if she's doing the same thing Donald Trump is doing now? My, oh my.
I promise you that I'm going to roll up my sleeves and I'm going to work every day as hard as I can to change our trajectory to be a mayor for all of St. Louis.
And that is the new mayor of St. Louis, Kara Spencer, with her speech yesterday after being sworn in downtown at around noon. Today will be day one. I don't know what she's got on her agenda. I don't know if she's going to work as quickly and sign executive orders like Donald J. Trump did. She probably wouldn't like that comparison, would you?
No, definitely not.
If I had to guess. will she sit down with Megan Green and try to figure out the lawsuit? They did ask her about that. Mm-hmm. One of the first questions that she was asked yesterday is what about the lawsuit that the city just filed the day before you got sworn in against the state? I mean, you don't have to look back very far in time to remember that Tashara Jones, most certainly, Megan Green, Cori Bush were all at these protests to defund the police. My guess is, as progressive as she is, Kara Spencer was in that crowd. And now she campaigned on adding more police officers. Has she had an epiphany? Will she step in and maybe try to do something and cancel this suit that they've now filed trying to get state control reversed? I don't know. Here's what she said.
We're going to have briefings this afternoon about. Obviously, it's pending litigation, and I'm looking forward to digging deeper into that at this time.
Yeah, that's quite a bit of a non-answer. You either support suing the state over control or you don't. It led me to believe that maybe she didn't support the idea. But now that she's mayor, she's stuck with the fact that the Tashara Jones administration, along with the president of the Board of Aldermen, took this action.
She's kind of between a rock and a hard place. I don't see her taking a firm stand on that one way or the other. What she'll do is do what she's already been doing, which is, I support local control of the police department. We're going to continue to investigate this whole situation and work through the legal system. All this nonsense that she'll say that sounds kind of good. It's basically a lot of words that really have no meaning. I don't think that she's going to actually want to be firm in where she stands on this lawsuit.
Yeah, well, I'm sure we'll know soon because somebody's going to ask her about that every single day.
Good.
Now that the thing's been filed, for sure. All right, coming up, we're going to get to this border issue. the U.S. border is as secure as Tom Homan has seen it in his 40 years of working on border issues and border security. But now we may face a situation where a U.S. senator is trying to bring an illegal back into the country. What's going on with that? We'll talk to Fair when we come back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
I think it's atrocious that you have Democrats in Congress on Capitol Hill who swear an oath to protect their constituents and to serve them in Washington, D.C., spending more time defending illegal immigrant gang members than their own constituents and law-abiding American citizens.
Yeah, Caroline Leavitt, I know you recognize the voice by now. She is great at what she does, but her point there is so valid. You have got a United States senator flying to El Salvador today, claiming he's going there to defend a constituent. Your illegal aliens are not your constituents. Gang members are from El Salvador are not your constituents, Senator Van Hollen. But he's going down there for a photo op. That seems more and more obvious. I got Joey Chester on the phone right now. He's with the Federation for American Immigration Reform. And Joey, good morning to you. How are you?
Hey, it's great to be with you.
Great time to be in your organization, I'm sure, because, you know, over the years, we've attended a lot of the radio roads you guys sponsored during the Biden administration, and I mean, it was miserable what was going on then, and we're starting to see some real progress on the southern border, finally.
We are. You know, we see record low border crossings in March, just a little over 7,000 at the southern border. That's an incredible change. I believe that is lower than just the first 2 days of March of 2024 were. So you can see just how quickly the Trump administration has been able to make progress towards border security and operational control. And they've done all of this through the executive power of the president and by using what I like to call a whole government approach to securing the border that isn't just CBP. You've got the military that is now controlling a 60-foot wide piece of land along the southern border. You have border wall construction restarting. And so they're making incredible progress so far towards securing that border. I mean, it's a night and day difference.
Oh, really. It definitely is. And, you know, here's the issue now of how far can district court judges go to control immigration policy. And the White House is, and it appears the Supreme Court has told them, not nearly as far as they think, right?
That's right. And like you think about this case with the man from El Salvador, where basically the Supreme Court said, they cannot compel the president to execute a certain foreign policy. That policy is vested with the president of the United States. And simply that if El Salvador decides to return this illegal alien, then the United States would have to allow him back into the country. But the United States does not need to go, and they cannot force the United States to go into El Salvador and pick this guy up and bring him back into the United States.
Well, because we still allow people to come here to the United States, they can still seek asylum, but we've tightened that, right? I mean, ever since Trump took office, it's not like Biden where it was just like, yeah, just claim you need asylum and poof, you're in our country.
That's exactly right. You can't just claim it and you're in our country, which really is the policy of catch and release. And then you get a court date 5 to 10 years in the future from now. And then while you're here, you just disappear into the interior of the country. And you can get a work permit while your asylum case is pending. And there's all sorts of issues with that. But that has all been tightened. And I believe the only place now that you can claim asylum is at a port of entry. So if you are a legitimate asylum seeker and you make it to the United States, you can go to a port of entry and you can claim asylum. But we are not going to allow you to cross illegally between a port of entry, get caught by Border Patrol, and then be released into the interior of our country.
Yeah, it's a good point. We're talking with Joey Chester, the Federation for American Immigration Reform. We see us making ground, I say us, the United States making ground on this immigration issue. But internally, you've got some big blue states, including Connecticut, that has now doubled down on its sanctuary law for illegals and even threatened companies. Is that right? If they cooperate with ICE?
Yeah, you see a lot of this happening right now where the deepest blue places, sanctuary places, are doubling down, and they do not want localities to comply with ICE. You have some states that don't want their city police departments to be cooperating with ICE. And in certain states, like in Washington, you actually have a sheriff who's saying, look, I'm not going to comply, and we are going to cooperate with ICE. And so what I think you're going to start see happening, and you're already seeing some of this from Pam Bondi, is you're going to see the administration use the full weight of the Justice Department to start going after these sanctuary jurisdictions and saying, no, look, you need to comply with federal immigration law and work with ICE. That is safest for police officers. It's safest for the illegal alien, and it's safest for the community. When you block working with ICE, you release these dangerous individuals out into the community, and then ICE has to come in and try to find them, and that puts those agents in danger, and it potentially puts the community in danger depending on the situation that these guys end up in.
Yeah.
And so I think you'll continue to see the admin take on these jurisdictions.
Well, Joey, thank you for your time. I direct people to fairus.org for more information on these very important issues. Thank you.
Thank you.
You bet. Joey Chester there with Fair. And we'll be back in just a minute. Stay tuned.
My market's going good. It hasn't been a moment, but I solved that problem. I'm very good at that stuff, and I solved it very quickly. I didn't know I solved it that well. We had the biggest day in history. The bond market's going good.
What kind of a country do we want to be going forward?
Charles Payne, host of Making Money.
I want us to be that country that was number one, really enjoyed being number one, and did everything it could to stay number one.
All right, thrilled to have the one and only, the man, Charles Payne, back on the air this morning. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing okay. Thanks a lot.
I'm glad to have you back on, man. We've needed to talk to you. We haven't heard from you in a while, and we got all kinds of chaos going on up there on Wall Street.
A lot of chaos. Listen, a lot of unanswered questions. And what's really interesting, though, is it's the uncertainty factor is through the roof. So the market is building in. It's really built in almost a worst case scenario. And so now we just kind of play the waiting game.
Well, my argument here, and you could probably voice this better than I can, is that when Donald Trump gave them Liberation Day as a deadline, that this is the day I'm going to do it, a lot of these hedge fund managers and everything, just they decided they were putting in sell orders way in advance. It was almost preordained that the market was going to take a dive on Liberation Day, right? And then, of course, that following Friday, people started buying again, and now it was kind of flat yesterday. Have we hit the bottom on this? Is it at 10% yet?
At one point we tickled 20% from going back to last year. This year, the year-to-date low was like down 15%. But I think what happened with Liberation Day, if Trump had come out and the tariffs were just whatever other countries' tariffs were, and that was it, then the markets probably would have had a massive rally. But he came up with his own unique technique, him and his team, for figuring out how they want to fight this. And part of the issue is, really the crux of the problem is what you call these sort of non-trade barriers. So they're not tariffs, but they're de facto tariffs. And there could be environmental rules. It could be all kinds of rules. I mean, and there's literally thousands of them. And every country has their own. And so if we're really trying to level the playing field, it's one thing for a country to say, "And well, we only have 10% tariffs on your cars." Yeah, but you also have another environmental thing that excludes our cars. You have another weight thing that may exclude our cars. You have another, you know, origin of this that may. So there's all kinds of little things that they tried to figure out, and they used the trade deficit, and that really roiled Wall Street because, yeah, you know, that they you know, they're like, well, you know, we're the larger economic country, so it stands to reason we'll have a trade deficit. So that really upset a lot of people, and what we're seeing is a tantrum almost. It's not even, I don't think, based on economics. It's sort of based on the status quo. You know, the people out there who have the most money, who have controlled everything, who are more or less on easy street, you know, are the ones who are really up in arms about this. And what they've been able to do is stoke the flames of panic. You know, people talk to me about tariffs the way they talk to me about COVID.
Wow.
You know, I mean, it's they've been able to get that much fear into society. And again, they control the media. They control all the narratives. And for the most part, a lot of them are people who didn't want Trump in office in the first place. But I got to tell you something. This is so serious. I wish Trump would have a few fireside chats with us about this as a nation. You know, one thing I've been looking at is the military side of this. And, you know, there's some pretty amazing think tanks out there that have already sort of done the gaming of this. And they're saying, like, no one's even thinking about this. Think about how hard it's been for Russia and Ukraine. Russia was supposed to win that war in 24 hours.
Yes.
All right. Initially, they told, hey, you Zelensky, get the hell out of there. It's gone on 3 years now. If we got bogged down in a war with China, we don't have an industrial base. Right. We don't have steel. I mean, we don't have any. We would probably lose if we couldn't inflict so much damage on them early on. And so there's so many reasons we need to be thinking about this longer term, longer than a week, longer than a month. And, you know, a week or so, I think last week on the show, I talked about the Great Depression, and in the early 30s, there was a major run on the banks. In 1933, FDR had a bank. They closed all the banks. They said, we're going to close them for 3 or 4 days. This is crazy. They actually ended up extending it, so they closed them for a week. And you know, everyone's nervous. What's going to happen, you know, when they open these banks back up on Monday? That Sunday before Monday, he had his first fireside chat. And that went so far, you know, he said, listen, the only banks that will open, we vetted them, they're great, they won't fail. The next day, when the banks opened, they looked out the door, and there were long lines of people to bring money back. And they got back half the money that was taken out. We need that kind of articulation right now, because I think so many people, first of all, we've been so, our economy and our existence is like, because wages haven't kept up with inflation, the way they've been able to sidestep that is by importing cheap labor and cheap, you know, deflation from different places. And it makes people feel, okay, you know, I got all the stuff I need, but you really haven't progressed. You know, this generation after generation, we have stalled, right? We really have stalled. Our percentage of the global growth was 40%. Now it's 20%. We have stalled in terms of growth. And we've got to figure out a way to you know, when I hear someone go on TV and say, well, it could take 2 years to build a factory, I'm like, what the hell? So what? It's just like, are you kidding me?
Thank you.
We're talking about the future. We're not talking about 2 years. We're talking about the next 20, 30, 40 years, where we are. Because once you slip off that pedestal, once you go from being the preeminent nation in the world, you slip off the pedestal, you don't get back on.
Yeah.
If you were Trump, would you be considering exemptions? Like in this case, I've heard he's looking at potentially giving an exemption to some of the auto industry players, the key players. You know, I trust Trump, and I truly believe he knows what he's doing, and this will actually be good for us. I've heard other people describe it as, oh, this is whiplash, the back and forth of, yes, there are tariffs. Well, actually, we're going to hold off. Okay, there are tariffs again.
Well, again, that's the sort of the fanning of the flames. A lot of the postponements were before the tariffs officially went in, you know, so we were going to put them in. A country would extend an olive branch, that would extend negotiations. So there really wasn't truly a lot of on-off. You know, the tariffs that have been on are on. And so far, you know, yesterday, by the way, import prices were down, not up. That's the tricky one because I personally, this would really work like easy as heck if they had a way of getting the biggest leaders in the Democratic Party and the biggest leaders in the Republican Party say, yeah, we pledge right now that whoever wins the next election will have tariffs at least at 10%. In other words, you would hear, you know, the corporations would say, okay, we know that we're going to be able to have the government's going to have our back, so we're going to make these investments, we're going to build these plants. And by the way, the biggest part of this that no one talks about is the training. I really wish we would have come out with a massive training program.
Yes.
Because that's what we need also. We need the people to man these manufacturing plants. And we've got millions and millions. We've got the greatest percentage of 25 to 54-year-olds who are out of the labor force than ever. It's just crazy that we've got millions of people who are out there just sitting around collecting some form of government benefits, right? 100 million people get like some form of benefits in our country. So, you know, so I get leery. It's one thing to say, okay, I want to help the auto companies, but I think there's got to be some give. I need to hear some of these auto companies stop telling us how great they're doing and say, okay, you know what? We will start to bring some of this stuff back.
Yeah. Charles, what do you got today on your show this afternoon?
Well, we're definitely going over this market, where the opportunities are, sort of a shift now from technology. There's some things out there that look really good. The banks look good. Insurance companies look good. People need to, you know, also – what's going to happen is there's going to be at some point this coiled spring when a lot of this stuff is resolved and the market goes up and people are going to look back and say, golly, two things. A, I should have taken a big loss, which was dumb at this stage. And B, maybe I should have been buying weakness, which is what sort of everyone says after the fact every time we have one of these sort of situations.
It's the truth. We'll be watching, my friend, 1 to 2 p.m. Right. Central. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. See you.
You bet. Charles Payne there from the Fox Business Network. Just so much common sense there. You got to watch that show. All this panic, for no reason, in my opinion, and his, it sounds like. All right, quick break. We're back right after this.
Oh, poor Christina. Poor, poor Christina. Well, I'm sure, Christina, you think that you're pretty smart. But the reality is you are being completely brainwashed by whatever source of news you listen to. The facts are this. No one has lost their Social Security. No one has lost their benefits. Criminals have lost it, yes. Fraudsters have lost it, yes. And illegal aliens have lost it, yep. And if you want to defend those people where you hate our country and you hate America, what am I going to do? I am going to stand by my president. I am going to support my president. And I'm going to fight for his agenda with everything I have in Congress. And that's what I'm going to do for the 14th District, because I know for a fact you are going to have more money in your pocket.
Yep. Marjorie Taylor Greene there at an event. Obviously, the Congress was in recess this week, and they've all been back home in their home districts holding events, and people have been screaming at him. I saw somebody screaming at Chuck Grassley and demanding that are you threatening my Social Security, because they buy the garbage they hear on CNN and MSNBC with the Democrat talking points. That's not happening. And at that event yesterday, it got so out of hand, they had to tase some dude who got violent, apparently, at the MTG hearing. That's how whacked out these people are on the left. Just to give you an idea of what's going on. I haven't heard of anything like that here locally, but I wouldn't be surprised, because the pink hat wearing crowd they're out and about, and they're kind of ravenous right now for something to get upset about.
Why are they so destructive?
I don't know.
I mean, there are some crazies on the right too, don't get me wrong, but my gosh, it seems like the vast majority of them come from the left. It's not like just enough to hold a sign and scream. They have to do something crazy.
Get up,
and,
steal the microphone.
Get violent or, you know, graffiti or just throw a rock through a window or something like that. Destroy a business.
Yeah, that's kind of what's going on. Hopefully we don't have anything like that. But I thought she defended it very well. I mean, it's just not true. What they're saying is just not true. What Joe Biden said last night at that event, just not true. I saw this headline that Kim sent me, and I wanted her to explain. People are now calling dogs a threat to the environment. What is the basis of that?
This was an Australian review of existing studies that basically said the environmental impact of these dogs is far greater, more insidious, and more concerning than is generally recognized. And they're specifically talking about the droppings that dogs do and the fact that that can have an impact on the animals and the plant growth and all of those things. And so they point to the fact that people often don't pick up after their dog. That's part of the issue. Now, that's just disgusting and laziness if you don't do that. We had someone who left their dog's crap, more or less. Sorry, but right in our yard. I'm like, come on. You can't take 2 seconds to pick it up.
I look out the window here at this park where people from this building walk their dogs, and half of them don't pick it up either. So be careful if you're walking through a downtown park.
I mean, this is the way you're really going to upset the left, is by telling them that man's best friend is bad for the planet.
Well, it's going to get them fired up, one of the two. I mean, who knows? Next, they'll be out targeting animals. You hope not.
It says, while the environmental impact of cats is well known, I don't know what that is, the effect of pets, or rather of dogs, has been poorly acknowledged. So I guess... Are cats bad for the environment too?
Domesticated dogs are bad for deer, foxes, and bobcat because they're less active in areas where dogs are allowed. Well, no kidding. Really? I don't know. Them's fighting words. Although I will say, I wish my dog did not do what she did to my backyard. But, you know, it is what it is. If you have a dog, you put up with
that. Yeah, it comes with the territory.
So to speak.
That's what happens.
So there are big, bright green patches in my yard and spots that don't look quite as good because I have a golden retriever that eats a lot.
Yep, and sheds, right?
And sheds a small dog every day. We love her, though, for sure. All right, so just a quick happy birthday to my wife. I know she's out and about right now. I don't know if she's listening, but if you know my wife, Michelle, wish her a happy birthday today. We will celebrate a little later and with the family over the course of the weekend. So
Michelle Mark said he wants to take you to White Castle. So he said you could get anything on the menu just for you. Happy birthday, Michelle.
Yeah, there was a time when I don't think she'd eat White Castle these days. Maybe there was a time when that might have been all right. Have a great day. We'll get Brian Kilmeade in here in just a couple of minutes. And then I think Annie Fry is back today on her show. And Mark Rudin is back. Kim and Carl and Sue and I will talk to you tomorrow morning right here at 5 a.m.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.